Hi, and welcome to The Lonely Triathlete. My name is Todd, and I am The Lonely Triathlete, coming to you live from Vancouver, British Columbia, on this Sunday, March 31st, Easter Sunday. Now, if you celebrate Easter, happy Easter Sunday. If you don't celebrate Easter, then happy Sunday. Now, if you are new to this podcast, my name is Todd, as I just said, and I am an age group triathlete hailing from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, And I started this podcast as a means of sharing my thoughts and experiences from daily triathlon training, and hopefully to provide anyone who's listening with some motivation and company for all you amateur triathletes around the world who are also lonely triathletes. I remember looking for podcasts that just took me through another athlete's day, week, month, their trials, tribulations, what they went through, what they thought. And I could only find coaching podcasts or interviews with experts or reviews of Ironman athletes. Like nobody, just like a normal person like me. I did find one, but that person would record 1.5 to 2.5 hour episodes. I'm looking for something 15 to 20 minutes, and so I couldn't find it. So I thought I would create one myself. And now I'm into over two years of doing this podcast. And I just love sharing what goes on in my mind as an age grouper, an amateur age grouper, day to day to day to day, as I train for and participate in this fantastic sport of triathlon. So if you wanted to email me and tell me that I suck or tell me I'm amazing, I'll take either. You can email me at thelonelytriathlete, all one word, at gmail.com. Now, I don't have much of a training update for you this week. My plan is called for long, but pretty easy cycles, like 90-minute cycles at an endurance pace, so pretty easy. And my runs have been short, like super short, 30 minutes, easy. So it's been a pretty good week. And you know what that means? That means my plan is resting me up for a brutal next 3 weeks. I took a peek at what my next couple of weeks looks like, and I got scared, and I just decided not to look anymore because I'm getting back into those hard intervals. So yeah, I'm getting rested up for that. So I was on a run on Friday, Good Friday, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was wondering to myself, why are there so many people out on the Vancouver seawall at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Friday? I've done this run 100 times, and I know how many people should be out. And then I thought, oh, right, it's a holiday. I felt kind of dumb. I guess people, they're off work, and they wanted to get out there and enjoy the, let me think back. It wasn't really raining. It was okay. It was bright. And it wasn't raining. It was cold. The air temperature was cold. But people are out there with their dogs and out there with their partners and holding hands. It was very, very, very cool to see. The other thing I was thinking about on that run on Friday morning is here in Vancouver, we have a lot of blue herons. In fact, the blue herons nest in Stanley Park, not too far from the water, up in the trees by the tennis courts. And you know that because there's crap everywhere in that area. And there are signs saying, look up, you can see the blue herons. So they're around year round, but I noticed them more now. So I think some of them migrate because they're coming back now for sure. I see them out on the water, standing on the rocks, doing their little fishing. And it was, it occurred to me that the blue herons here are so used to people and noise because they won't move. They'll be on a rock out in the water and they know that you're there, but they won't move unless you get, you know, within 15 feet, which is actually pretty close. But they generally keep to themselves and they're looking in the water to do their fishing. And they're kind of focused on the water. And yeah, I'm just amazed. I can just go tromping by one that's about 15, 20 feet away. And it just says, oh, yep, that's another runner. I don't care. So very, very domesticated blue herons here in Vancouver. Another thing that came to my mind as I was running was this awareness for the 100th time of how uber competitive I am. And I wonder why. It's so interesting to me. I mean, here I was running along at a 4 out of 10 pace. So very, very aerobic, very easy. And I came upon two runners that were ahead of me running slightly slower than me. So I just held my pace, chipping away at the distance, and then eventually passing these two people who were just going slightly slower than me. And I was sticking with my relatively slow pace. And about 5 minutes later, I hear this intense chatting behind me. And I realize it's these two people. And they've clearly sped up. Like, there's no way that they should now be passing me when I pass them and my pace is locked down. So they were clearly going faster. And it bothered me. This is the thing. It irritated me that they sped up. And I sped up myself. I thought to myself, I'm not letting them pass me. How can they think that they were, like, I don't know what was going through my mind. Did I think that they thought that they were better than me? They didn't even know I existed, I am sure. But the fact that they were threatening to pass me after I passed them, my brain said, nope. And I sped up to stay ahead of them. And I probably ran like that for 10 minutes, much faster than I had intended to run. But I stayed ahead of them until I turned around to go back. And yeah, I felt really good about them not passing me. What is up with that? It just seems weird for some reason. So if there are any psychoanalysts, psychologists listening to this podcast, please email me. Why do I care? Why do I change my workout to stay ahead of these people? It's the weirdest thing. But yes, I will do that. I will try to stay ahead of somebody that I don't think deserves to pass me, even if my workout is supposed to be super easy. So dumb. Okay, and now on to explain the title of this podcast, the rather provocative title of the podcast. I'm sure you're wondering when I was going to get to that, right? Okay, well, first, starting off with a bit of context. I love my Body Glide. Now, if you don't know what Body Glide is, it's an anti-chafing product. It comes in a package that looks like a deodorant. An underarm deodorant, and you fire it into your thighs and your groin and any places, my feet, I've done that for marathons, any places where you might get some chafing, the stuff is amazing. I love it. I use it religiously on my neck when I'm wearing a wetsuit, my crotch and thighs for running. I don't use it for cycling though. I stick to chamois butter in my cycling shorts for cycling. But anyway, I'm always running low on this stuff. And the problem is that I can only get it at a running store. I've gone on Amazon multiple times. I don't know why I haven't figured this out, but I can't find the large size on Amazon. I can only find the smaller size. And it is way overpriced. Way overpriced. And so once again, I was on Amazon looking for some more Body Glide and I couldn't find the bigger size. And I'm looking at the prices going, this is insane. I could go to my local running store and get it so much cheaper. And then I came across this really interesting product. It was from a company called, and I kid you not, the company's name is P-Safe. I did a double take. When a company is called P-Safe, what has that got to do with anything? And it turns out that they sell an anti-chafing bar. It's very much like Body Glide, but it is made of completely natural, organic products, substances, ingredients like coconut oil, eucalyptus oil, and I think a few other natural ingredients. And I looked at the price. I could get a large size, very comparable to my Body Glide size I buy, at like less money even. It was like $14 Canadian. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try this out. So I bought it. I got it before my Friday run. It glides on very smoothly, a little softer than the Body Glide. Think of like a really hard butter. So I got that into my groin, into my crotch, into my thighs. I slathered it in there and I took it up for a test ride on that Friday morning, and it felt great. I wasn't thinking about anything. There was no rubbing, no chafing, no burning. It was just a really fantastic feeling, non-silky and smooth, non-greasy wonderland down in my nether regions. But here is the bonus. When I was finished my run, standing outside my condo doing my post-run stretches, I smelled this waft of heaven. It was drifting up from my loins, and I can best describe it as like a lime potpourri infused with a hint of eucalyptus mist, enshrouded by a cloud of a zest of Italian lemons. It was amazing smelling, and I realized, I thought at first it was coming from the flowers that were next to the building. No, it was coming from my anti-chafed crotch. It was coming from my groin. It smelled glorious as I stood there stretching. I was shocked that any amazing smell could come from that area of my body, especially after running. And so now I suspect when I go out on my runs after applying this wonderful anti-chafing lotion from P-Safe, it's the craziest name. I just imagine that people that will walk or run past me are going to turn with their noses into the breeze thinking, what is that glorious odor? And they will never realize it's coming from my, well, you get it. That's it for me. Peace.